Take out your Bibles. We at Stream say this simple little prayer before we get started. Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I would like to, those who have scripture, to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We have been dealing with the subject of faith. And as we've learned, that there's only two types of faith that really is in the world. And that's a head faith and a heart faith. And we've taken some really extraordinary pains to explain the kind of faith that pleases God and causes people to flow with continued success in God. God wants to bless your lives. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He does. And where you're at right now is not the fullness of His blessing. Some of us are at places that really we could use a little more blessing from God. But without faith, as it says in Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please God. And so what we have done is we have begun to build this faith. Today we're going to take it a little bit different approach. And today's message is we need an anchor. We're going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians 13. And I will start with verse 8 and read to the end of the chapter. Love never fails. When there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I was a man, I put childish things behind me. And now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Today I want to talk about hope. And I want you to come away with, one, understanding what real hope is, and two, understand where you are in life in reflection to where God is. I've heard people say, well, I have faith in God. And I said, that's great. But demons have faith in God, and they know Him, and they tremble, and they're in fear. Other people say, I have faith. But their life is contrary to that which is pleasing to God. And yeah, there may be times in which in our lives we hit these peaks, and then we go into these valleys. All these valleys, the times of these storms that come into our lives, are geared in such a way to draw us closer to God. Not closer to things, not closer to people, but closer to God. And God has been working since the creation and since the fall of man to come into His life. Come into the lives of people who are far away from God. And make Himself known and make Himself real and begin to change the way we think about life and change the way we do life. Because, you see, without God, you don't have hope. You may think you do, but you don't. And what we have to understand is that hope is set free when it is coupled with love and faith. Because love is who God is. And without faith, we can't attain this love that God wants to shed, not only into our hearts, but throughout the world. And we can't have faith existing by itself, nor love exist by itself, because hope is what anchors faith and love. You need all three in order to function properly as a believer in Jesus Christ. This comes to a question of, what does my relationship in Jesus Christ look like? Does my life look like I'm going through a bunch of religious ceremonies, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, but inside I'm a dead man walking? Does my life separate me from the people of God, because God says that we need each other? And the reason why we need each other is because, quite frankly, we've got to knock the barbs off of each other. Because let's face it, none of us are perfect, and all of us are crying out for this hope that God has for us. And without this hope, our faith is in vain and our love is empty. Because our love is that if we say we love God, our next step is, do we demonstrate it in loving one another? And that's the key. Let me read you a story. The time is 1735. A young English preacher was on a voyage from England to America. And during the voyage, the ship had encountered two severe storms, of which the second storm split the main mast sail. Split it. And so what had happened was, the storms were terrifying, everything was bad, and you would lose hope in that not having this main sail to catch the winds to take you through. But on January 25th, 1735, the ship encountered a third severe storm, because it takes 3 months to travel from England to America. The storm was so fierce that this preacher wrote in his journal that it was so fierce, it was as if the deep had already swallowed us up. The picture here is that these swells, how many of us have seen the perfect storm? And that wave was tremendous, a 100-foot wave. And that's what this preacher was writing about. The storm was so severe that as you went down and the waves were so high above this ship, all it needed to do was just crash on top of this boat, and all hands would be lost. Well, enduring the storm, the preacher encountered a group of German Christians who appeared to be completely at peace, calmly quoting the Psalms. Their demonstration of a lack of fear unsettled this preacher more than the storm itself. Can you imagine being in a storm, and someone who's going in the storm with you has no problems? That wouldn't settle my condition more so than anything else. And because these German Christians lacked the fear, this young preacher questioned how they, the Germans, could be so calm with the ship on the brink of disaster. What was the difference between their faith and his? How could they be at such peace with their lives at such great peril? What was their secret that they possessed about God that he did not have? And we have to question, when we go through the perils of life, and you know, early on in my adult life, I wasn't the calmest type of person around. Then I got saved, and slowly God began to work in my life, so that when the storms of life come, you can either respond to them properly or you react to them. But we need to understand that in God, unless you're anchored in God, you may fall into hopelessness. And that young preacher started a move that is still going on today. He started the Methodist movement, and his name was John Wesley. And here was this great man of faith who was questioning his faith and his relationship. These Germans had complete hope in God. It was kind of like what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, that, you know, when the king wanted to throw them into the fire, that they would not recant their relationship to Jesus Christ. And so the king threw them into the fire. And before he threw them in there, they said, you know, whether we live or we die, we're the Lord's. So really it's up to God to determine what's going to happen in your life. You're not in control. I'm not in control. God is. And we need to learn His ways in order to sail through these storms of life. No ship survives a severe storm at sea, and no person can survive the severe storms of life without an anchor. When one finds themselves being battered and bruised by the fierce storms of life, one can only remain stable and secure as long as you have a good anchor. If you have an anchor in life, you will successfully weather the storms that you will face. And a lot of times, that doesn't mean that we go through life and life is supposed to be okay and we don't have problems. All of us have problems. Some great, some are in the midst of a tremendous storm right now. Some of us will go into storms, and some of us are coming out of storms. But what's your anchor? The Germans Wesley had encountered had this anchor, and their faith was completely put into God. And so, with their faith being in God, their hope in God was to see them through this tremendous, severe storm. They loved God all the more. They depended upon Him more and more. They were able to take their fear and turn it around to faith. And when we're afraid, generally what happens is we do things and we say things that usually hurt people that we love. When we're in that storm, that squeezing goes on, and what is inside usually comes out isn't really pretty. But we have to understand that both ships and souls are kept safe when they have a secure anchor. Anchors are utilized to keep things firm, secure, kept together under the greatest adversities. I like that show about the fishermen who are fishing for lobsters. And it shows these guys are out there every day, high seas. I've never seen it calm, per se, but these guys are fishing at the peril of their own lives. And because they have an anchor, when these storms come, they drop these anchors to draw across the water to keep the ship balanced and moving forward. And if it by chance is dragged across the floor and it hits something solid, it'll hold it in place until the storm passes. A lot of times in the old stories where you see they drop the anchors and the anchors are ripped from the ships. But the ship was sustained. Why? Because the anchor was used in a way in which to secure the safety of everyone and everything. The word anchor comes from the Greek word ankos, and it means curved. The ends of every anchor has a curve, and so that when they're released, they can drag across the bottom and they can catch something to keep that ship secure. When you're in your storms, what are you dragging along? What are you hoping that will catch you and keep you safe and secure? That's why Scripture constantly tells us to run into the hands of God. Run into His arms. Let Him embrace you. He's a loving Father. Those of us who have kids, or our kids were young, when they were scared and frightened, they came and ran to us. Did we just push them off and say, grow up? Or did we grab them, hold them, until their hearts were settled and filled with peace? See, that's what God wants to do. He wants us to snatch everybody up. Not that we can fix their problems, but let them know that it's going to be okay. The storm is going to pass, and everything will be okay. The interesting fact about anchors is that the early Christians, when they were in Rome and they were persecuted, instead of using the signs of the cross, they used an anchor. And this anchor was used as a symbol of where these meetings were going to be held. And if you know anything about Roman history, you know that most of the Christians met under the city in the catacombs. And to this day, there are still some of those symbols of the anchors on the wall to show and lead people to where these secret meetings were going to be held. Not like today, where we can come and we have a plethora of churches we can go to. They didn't have that. It was to hide the cross and to hide by camouflage these meetings so that we could, believers could get together and worship God and hear the good news of the gospel. And as I said that there was two types of faith, there's two types of hope in that we have to pay attention to. One hope is worldly hope, in which what this hope does is it has an optimistic desire for events or things to happen. You could say to somebody, did you get that job? No, not yet, but I'm hoping. I'm hoping for it. Did you get that raise? No, but I'm still hoping for it. Did you get that new car? No, but you know what? I'm still hoping for it. I got a couple things I got to get together. See, it's an optimistic outlook that is dependent upon an ever-changing people or situation for something good to happen. And that's what most of the world operates in today. And most of the world operates from a hope that if it doesn't happen, we'll try something else. We'll do something. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, the hope that we have is an optimistic assurance that good things are happening. And why is that? Why is the difference between a Christian's hope and a person who has a hope that is worldly different? Well, one is a desire that is always changing and predicated and subjected to what others do. The Christian's hope is anchored securely in God, who does not change. And what He says, He will do. He promises us this. And so we can have full assurance of this hope in God. How is that? And I've told the family at Streams that, you know what, you can't receive anything from God unless you know what He has promised you. What hope do you have? If you're hoping God to do something, if you're hoping for God to heal you of a sickness, if you're hoping for God to give you this job, if you're hoping for God to help you in your financial situation, or your marriage, or raising kids, or your spouse is out of control, or whatever it may be, unless you know what God has promised, your hope is vain. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to change that situation. That's God's responsibility. But we can hope in God, in Jesus Christ, in such a way that He will give me the peace and security that I need to get me through. To do what He wants done, not what I think is a great deal or a plan that I would have. And so we're fully assured that God is able to do things. Some of the things that we've encountered in this building is we've taken a lot of things out of this place to build this sanctuary, this temporary sanctuary. And we've put stuff out for scrappers to take. Well, just recently the scrappers took our air conditioning unit out of here. And so people of worldly hope would be running around trying to figure out what they need to do to make this thing right. What we did was we prayed, Lord, in your timing, you will provide this. You will do this. And it's been close to 3 months since we've lost this air conditioner, but next Tuesday the air conditioner will be reinstalled and do the things. We're just dependent upon God to make these things happen for us. You see, we could be filled with anguish. We could be filled with fear. We could be filled with all kinds of stuff. We choose to engage our faith and place our hope in an unchanging God and in unchanging promises that He gives to us and just wait on Him to make this thing happen. That doesn't mean that our hope is not isolated or hope is just sitting there waiting for God to do something. What we're doing is we're moving in the direction that He wants us to move to so that our hearts draw closer to Him. And He's able to speak to us and calm us and tell us, there, it'll be all right. If anybody's seen the Big Bang Theory, you would know that Sheldon uses that a lot. There, it'll be okay. With us getting all upset, with us getting angry and fearful and reactionary, what we do is we then hurt the people that we love, or we push people away who want to come and comfort us. You see, God has given us each other to comfort us as we go through these trials, as we go through these storms. And some of these storms are really severe. I don't want you to think that the things that you've had to endure or are going to endure are minimized. But with God, they are minimized because He's going to fix it. And as I said last week, God gave us to each other to help meet needs, not fix people. That's God's job. And we can go to God and say, God, you said here in your word that this, and now are you going to hope that He's going to do it because His word says it? And God's not like us. We lie to each other. We lie like a bad rug. But it's impossible for God to lie. If He said it, He's going to do it. But we have to be a people that can sit on His word. Now the Greek word for hope is elpis. It means a favorable and confident expectation. And it's always related to future. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When do you need faith? Today. Today you need faith. Hope is always future. You're hoping that God will do something, but if you don't have a basis in which to sit there, your hope is in vain. And I would say in such a way that your hope isn't in vain is that you borderline on hopelessness. And I have a handout out there that, that actually can be very helpful to people to recognize when you're beginning to enter into a helpless situation or a hopeless condition because you're not anchored to God. You're not anchored. You still feel that you can do the things that God wants to get done. You see, our faith is in God. And as we grow older and we mature, it only increases because we're walking with the living God who reveals himself strong to us that no matter what we suffer, we can laugh at the enemy for those things and just rest in God that he's going to make it okay. We have to understand that if we are not attached to God, the very next storm that we face in life, drug addiction, alcoholism, teen pregnancy, divorce, loss of a job, mate who is just out of control, could tip us into the sea of hopelessness because the anchor that we were using was ever changing. It's not rock solid. I hope you come away today in just thinking about where you are with God, what your faith is, because your faith may not be what you think it is. You may have hope for great things in your life, and your life is going away, and you're not realizing the hopes and the dreams that you were hoping that would manifest and be blessings to those whom you love and all aren't there any. But I'm here to tell you today that if you place your hope in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the world's type of hope because that's riddled with tons of uncertainty. But if you place your faith in God, you will understand that living a Christian life is not one of desperation and things, but it's one that's woven and interconnected with the promises of God that no matter what you ask of God, if you have a basis to anchor what you're asking, he will do it. That's his promise to his people. That's the promise that he has made to the world. That if we just take our burdens and we give it to him and put our faith and trust in him, he'll take care of it. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you have not left us in a condition of hopelessness. That you sent your son to die on a cross, pay for our sins, to draw us closer to you. That you want to give us a life that's filled with hope, give us a life that's filled with good things, give us a life in which we can love you and demonstrate that love by blessing others in a practical sense. Father, I just thank you for the attentiveness of your people today, God. Ask that you bless them richly. Give them the hope, God, that will see them through the storm and ever build their love for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.